2005, I stood up at the West Broward Church of Christ in Plantation, Florida, to preach my last sermon. I had been there 12 years and 3 months. A gentleman heard that it was my last sermon as we were meeting each other before worship began. He says, "Gary, this is so hard to believe, but the last time I was here, the other minister was preaching his goodbye sermon." And it was more than 12 years because there was a period of time and we had moved to a whole new location that he was now back in the area and worshiping with us in that new location. And it's amazing how things work, but I made it very clear on that day, you stay away from here when the next man comes for a number of years. And, of course, he understood what I was saying. Do you sometimes find yourself in a situation when you just do not think something is fair? That's not fair, we say from time to time. And usually we say it with more urgency when we feel as if we have not been treated fairly. We're going to look at a story this morning, a parable, and it's a real circumstance that would have occurred in Palestine when Jesus was ministering and telling this parable. But it speaks to us to understand that sometimes we don't think God is very fair. I think those who would read this, and I'll address it beforehand, the ones that would feel that God is not fair in this situation of Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, would be those who are the founding members of a congregation. They were here at the very beginning when Lazen Street's building was built and then added on to two or three times. And so in their mind, having been here so long at the very beginning, might have reached the conclusion that their ideas should carry more weight. And I think we all should just kind of grin when you hear that statement. Founding members should be revered and appreciated and listened to, but not any more so than others, members of the congregation, faithful and true to the works that we're about. We know, Terry knows the story, and I was involved in meeting him a number of years ago. He had been with his wife many, 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 many years in worship, had heard more invitations than he could ever have counted, and it never spoke to him. He continued to come faithfully with her, very cordial to the people who greeted him, very much welcomed for those many, many years. And at one point late in his life, someone came and visited with him in the hospital. And they approached him about the need of baptism in order to have sins forgiven. And he said, "It just would not be right for me, having heard all of those lessons, for me to have spent all of my life saying no to baptism, for me to say now, late in my life," and he died within a few months, "that now it's okay for me to respond and have my sins forgiven because of that immersion and that grace and that act of God through Christ on my behalf." And the minister says, "No, no, 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 no. I want to read to you and teach you that it's okay. God does not think of it as being unfair. You should not think of it as being unfair for you to say no many years, and now as you're closer than ever before to your impending passing, to now you're willing, ready, God says, yes. Yes. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. We would relate to these in our culture just as they happened in this culture in Palestine. Day laborers, not worthy, if you will, in some people's mind to hire them for every day, every week, every month, to pay them benefits. But if you'll make yourself available from time to time, I'll go to a certain place. I went by it on Admiral Callahan Boulevard yesterday. People waiting, hoping to get a day job, to just pay some bills for the day. A denarius was a typical day's wage. In our understanding, probably $16 or $17 today, some people surmise. But they were there early, ready to go to work, and they were hired. And about the third hour, 9 a.m., he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., receiving what is right, the supposition, a denarius. And they went out and went to work. And he went out again the sixth hour, noon, and the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and did the same thing. "I need workers. Who's willing? Here's what I'll pay you. Go out and work." They agree. They go out and they get to work. Something that happened all the time in this culture, and still happens in many places in our world. At the 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us." The imposition, or the supposition rather, seems to be we were willing. We've been here. We're ready. And I think it's a circumstance where God asks a question. In this case, Jesus telling the story, he asks a question knowing the answer, but needing us to say that answer. He needed them to say, "We were ready. We were ready. No one hired us. You also go and work in my vineyard." Typical day, hardworking people. Because it's very specific, 6, 9, noon, 3, 5, if you've not remembered hearing this for the first time, you might have been thinking, "Wait a minute, what are we going to be told? What is going to be the message here?" And some of us might have felt, whenever that was, however long ago it was, may have come up with the idea that, "I don't really need to hear this. I know that when people are called, they're called by God, and they respond, and it's okay. What's the big deal that we could possibly hear from this parable?" And then you may have been the one that says later, and you may think it soon. That's not fair. That's not fair. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages. A common thing, day laborers paid for the day. They need the money, very likely, to go buy something to eat that day. Without the pay, they may not have eaten that day. It's very common in this circumstance. But the vineyard owner gives a qualification, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. Ah, something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. And the workers who were hired about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., and came, and each received a denarius, a day's wage. Wait a minute, that's not fair. They weren't here very long. Maybe an hour or two at the most, if they quit working during daylight savings time. They received a day's wage for 2 or 3 hours' work. And that's going to be the story. And so when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. If you've only worked a couple of hours and you receive one denarius, and I've been here since 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3, surely I'm going to get more than him. That's not fair. Would have been on the tip of our tongue. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landlord. By the way, day laborers ought not to grumble against the person that's ready to pay you, willing to hire you. And yet, there's reason for it, we might think. It's not fair. I would grumble too, we may be thinking. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour. I gave the benefit of the doubt. Could have been 2 or 3, but it wasn't all day. And they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. And you know what? They learned the two lessons. If we read nothing else, they were made equal, and they did indeed work through the heat of the day. Hold on to that statement of equality for just a moment. Let's finish the story and make maybe an application that we've not seen before. These men were hired last, worked only 1 hour. You've made them equal to us, verse 12, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them. Apparently several were there, several grumbling and complaining. One of them, he says, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. So often in Scripture, and so often when something harsh may be said, brother, brethren, friend, or beloved, dearly beloved is used. It softens the statement, if you will, but it's also showing a friendship. And Jesus is showing us that the owner of the vineyard is appealing to him as a friend. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. And I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? And there's the statement that they had to answer to. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? The last will be first, and the first will be last. This individual who had said no to hundreds of invitations sitting in the assembly did not think it would be fair to those who had been Christians for many years, some of them, much of their adult life. It wouldn't be fair for me to come in late into the kingdom when I know I'm going to pass very soon. And he did. They found one of those thick bathing things. I couldn't think of the word. I forgot with our busy week to ask Terry, what would that be called? It's pretty silver, deep enough to fill with water and put someone in and give them a bath. And they used it at the hospital to immerse him in water. And he sang hallelujah. And so did his wife and daughter and others who were so thankful that God would allow someone late in life to confess him, to repent of sin, to be willing to die, to be raised in that burial of immersion of water in order to have sins forgiven. Why in the world, in their right mind, who in the world, in their right mind, would begrudge someone who comes to Christ at any time? And yet sometimes there are those who do. Someone will live in sin, they'll get caught, they'll be embarrassed. They know they've got to fess up to it. They'll come to the front pew and they'll confess it. And someone in some auditorium say, well, the only reason he came is because he got caught. And I actually heard someone say that, and I really kindly, patiently, gently gave them the sermon of their life. And so you're saying when Nathan comes to David and confronts him with the sin of Bathsheba and the death of others that he caused and even the death of an infant, it wasn't okay for him to say, I'm sorry, and God should not have forgiven him? Well, no. Remember that story, would you please? When someone gets caught and comes forward and asks for forgiveness, we sometimes show our humanity. And parables like this are designed to force us to see ourselves if we need to. And I can't speak for you. I probably would not have been there at 6 a.m. I'm usually awake by then, but I have a few things I want to do. But by 9 a.m., yes. Noon? Maybe you're a late sleeper. Maybe you want to get other things accomplished. Maybe 3, maybe 5 p.m. is when you would come to work. And the bottom line is, what did you agree to? There are times when we're in the workplace when the last thing we needed to hear is what that most recent person who was employed doing a similar job is making, and you've been there 5 years. By the way, that was on Facebook this week. Someone found out what they were paying the new guys because they need them desperately, and they're paying more and even giving bonuses. Where's my bonus? That's not fair. The person was essentially saying, when she found out the new ones were being paid more than she was. Human nature. What did you agree to? Are you paid what you agreed to? Have you done the work? Have you been paid? What's the complaint? Well, that's not fair. Are you ready to give up the possibility of saying, that's not fair, God? By the way, I said it so you won't have to. Don't say that with meaning. God has the right. He has the right to treat us equally, sinners in need of a Savior. Whether it's 16 or 46 or 86, He wants us to see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior and respond to that gift that is offered because of the death of His only begotten Son, His monogenes. He makes us equal, sinners in need of a Savior. Whenever we come to that conviction, I have said it a number of times here because I need to hear it too. Family members who are not faithful, I've encouraged you not to turn your back on them, not to quit praying, not to give up on them. Be sure and let them bring their dirty laundry as often as they want to and have a meal ready for them. Because you might be the hope that they would come back to. Through you, God through Christ may call them back to faithfulness. Do not give up. Do not give up. I've talked to two people, one a brother, both of them unfaithful members, one a fleshly brother, another a relative through marriage, both of them just weeks before passing, and they did. And I told them, you're in the unique position of knowing when your time is likely coming. And you have a relationship and you have the right to go to God and confess those sins and be made clean again. Take advantage of the knowledge and do it. And everything I've been told tells me probably, but I'm not certain. And I'm just hopeful they came back. But I know God would have let them. I know He was open to it. And I'm hoping they took advantage. I got a phone call. Dad, call so-and-so. Leave a message and then pray so he can hear it anytime he wants to. I said, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Maybe that told me the good that could come. I have a birthday tomorrow. I will be 49 again. 49 again. I don't know where you are in your age, but I know if you're not yet a member of the body of Christ, the door is wide open for you to walk through it. And until you've breathed your last breath, that door will always be open to you. But because we don't know when we're going to leave this place, don't assume something you don't know. Dare I say today, if you're not right before God, don't leave this place today outside of that right relationship with God. And as an unfaithful member, it doesn't require you coming and sitting on the front pew. You can take care of it as one of His children. Tell Him you want to be right in His sight again. And you've done it before, but you know you can do it again and again and again and again, and He will take you back. 1 John 1, verse 9, faithful and just, and will forgive you of those sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What that tells us is He removes the guilt that you've had to do this before way too many times in your mind, but not in His. He's faithful and just. He's not breaking any rules to let you do this again. To be right, to be cleansed, take advantage of that opportunity given to us as sinning saints. The water's warm if you haven't been immersed in water in order to have sins forgiven. With very little effort, that can be taken care of also. Amen. Don't say no. Even better or worse, don't keep saying no. Say yes while we stand and sing this song.